I might have fit right in. I was asked this morning if I could share my testimony tonight, and I wrote down a thought that came into my mind immediately, and it's a question. And it was repeated several times during the messages this morning. So if you were here this morning, at my close, you'll hear that phrase, that question, again. The most important question you can ask somebody, and the most important question that you'll ever answer. A testimony, you know, I thought, what is a testimony? Well, it's when somebody gives a description of some events or facts in order to prove a point, to inform, to educate. I'm not here to sway anybody's mind. I do hope to be able to challenge somebody, and I'm not the messenger. I'm just here as sort of the sign pointing to the man who's pointing to the message which comes from on high. In the context of tonight's meeting, the focus of my testimony is on the purpose of our life here in time and what is our position in eternity. That's the ultimate question. I often ask people, do you know what's going to happen to you when you die? The typical answer is, I don't know, or I hope I go to heaven. That's a good hope. The recognition is that there is more than just this life, and that's worldwide. And not that I'm traveled huge amounts of the world, but every place I've been, there are virtually no atheists. I've had the opportunity to speak with many atheists, and when we got through a bit of a conversation and I realized I wasn't a threat to them and I wasn't threatened by them, we had some fantastic conversations that normally ended very amicably, and they were challenged. Now, that's the work of God, but they would say, yeah, I don't know if there's a God or not. I choose not to believe in one, and that's because then they're not accountable. At least that's what they think. You know, I, speaking of the universality of this idea, of, as Ecclesiastes 3 would say, God has set eternity in our hearts. I spent time in Southeast Asia. Boy, about as far from civilization as you can get. Amongst the mountain people, the Manyards, Lahu, Akka, the Karen, at some time with the Karen. Vastly different than our culture, vastly different belief system, although Christianity has been presented in many of those places. And yet, just like every other place in this world, there is an understanding that there is eternity, and that's why there's religion everywhere you go. And depending on how you define it, they say there's between 3,500 and 4,000 religions on the face of the earth. That's proof, universal proof, that it's within our heart. So who am I, and how might my words impact you tonight? And again, like I said, I just want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to think and to consider. If you're a believer, I'm going to challenge you, as our brothers have been doing, to what are you doing? Are you showing gratitude to the one who died in your place to give you your salvation? If you're an unbeliever, I'm challenging you to for you to challenge God. He's the one who made the promise through Moses first in Deuteronomy 4:29, where he says, if you search for me with all your heart and soul, you will find me. He's not trying to hide from anybody. Some 700 years later, through the prophet Jeremiah, virtually the same words. You get a message once in the Bible, it's important. You get it twice, it's critical. I often encourage unbelievers, look, even if you don't believe there's a God, you can, even in anger, if you search him with all your heart and soul, you are going to find him. And so that's my challenge tonight, is just to consider that. You know, as to who I am, my name's Russ. I fellowship down in Claremont, Southern California, Claremont Bible Chapel. Born and raised in Detroit, Michigan. Moved here to California in my teens. Met my lovely wife a couple years after that. Two years after that, we got married. Plans and aspirations, saved, knowing I was saved, but, you know, just living life. I was in college. I was studying to be an architect. We got engaged in November of 71. We pretty quickly set a date to get married in August. And then the monkey wrench got thrown in March of 1972. I won the lotto. Now, it's not the lotto that most of you are thinking of. It's a draft lotto. I knew that I was going to get a message, which I did. I got this very cordial letter from Uncle Sam inviting me to be an ambassador abroad. I worked at a moderately large company, and somebody who worked there had served, and I don't know what all the capacities he was in, but he invited me to consider a program. Wonderful opportunity. I got to stay home with my wife. Excuse me. There's always a catch. Without going into details, it took an introvert. It made me an island. I think it's what I needed. Certainly God works all things together for good, for those who love Him. To me, it was a no-brainer. I got to spend almost all my time at home with my wife, who wasn't even married when I was getting into the program. I bring up the point about being an introvert, because when you hear what God has done with my life, we would say, that's ironic. We'll get to that in just a minute. Well, in the ensuing years, when I faced danger, well, I had a good prayer life. My walk with the Lord was circumspect. But when life was safe and easy, turning to the right, turning to the left, caught up in the world, feeling like I've earned the right to enjoy life. No pleasure. Poor pain. Because it was a sense of failure and a loss of identity. You're talking about a loss of identity this morning? Yesterday? It's easy to get caught up in something and identify with a cause and with a group, and that becomes who you are and what you are. And when you're separated from that, that's why, on average today, 22 veterans take life. That should not have been my identity. Look, I'm embarrassed by the tears. I'm not ashamed. It's proof there's not a stone in my bosom. I'm ashamed of the mistakes I've made. But glory to God, He's used virtually all of them to bring glory to Himself. Prepared me for things that I never would have done otherwise. I don't like public speaking. I used to joke I'd much rather be shot at. And I'm more comfortable with it. I know what to do. God does take us out of our comfort zone. This has taken a little different turn than I had intended. But the reality is, we live in mortal bodies. I watched a lot of people die. I wasn't always sad when it happened. There's a perverse sense of satisfaction that comes from prevailing in the arena of armed conflict. It's very perverse. You look upon fallen bodies and think, glad they're dead because of the enemy, but that's somebody's son. Probably a brother. Maybe a husband, maybe a father. Where are they now? And as a believer struggling with that, I can say you find comfort in the words of John the Baptist to the centurions. He didn't tell them, resign your commission. You've got to stop that job. But there's a price that's paid. I think of our brothers in emergency medical service. They were brothers in law enforcement, fire service, emergency response. I think of pediatric oncologists. Where do people like that come from? In each group like that, they pay a price in serving. God can take that and use it to bring him blessing. Long story short, there was a large detour in my life where I wasn't laboring for the Lord. I knew I was saved, but there was this callousness, this heartlessness in me. I didn't care about the lost. I was studying through the book of Revelation, and under conviction, I was saying, I believe this is true. How come I'm not doing anything? What kind of a murderer am I that I don't give warnings to those who are headed? Our brother quoted C.T. Studd this morning. He's right. That man is full of godly wisdom. And some of the quotes, it's inspiring. He said, most people are comfortable living within the sound of the chapel bell. I'd much rather run a mission 100 yards from the entrance to hell. At the time I was studying Revelation, the pastor of the big Baptist church in Pomona we were going to was giving a message on gifts and our obligation to serve our Savior. And I was under such conviction. The Lord started opening doors for me to evangelize. I said earlier, it'd be ironic. How is it that God would take an introvert and use him to talk to strangers about salvation, about the gospel? Well, that's the power of God. I'm still damaged goods. I have, for me, personal relationships, almost impossible. It's tough. I'm free with strangers. And for those of you who know me and I seem cold and aloof, I apologize. That's not my heart. Bottom line is, I said that the phrase this morning, that question, was, what will you do with Jesus? We sing that hymn, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral, you cannot be. One day your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? And so I ask you, do you know what's going to happen to you when you die? And if you don't know the answer for that question for sure, it's not safe to die. Our brother's going to come up and give you a message out of the Bible, straight from the Word of God. Don't trust me, I'm just some old kook here in Yosemite. I'm not dead yet. Oh, shut up, you're not fooling anybody. I'm almost there, but not quite. But I am going to die, and the odds are me first. But every one of you is going to follow me at some point. And where will you end up? Open your hearts and your ears tonight and be moved by the Word of God, believer and unbeliever alike. Thank you for your time.